When one of my brothers had his first child, he and his wife spent a lot of time putting her in front of a video camera. And she was only a few months old when they sent us a Christmas video of little Jillian and her parents cooing and gurgling at each other. It was charming for the first couple of minutes, and still watchable for another 10 minutes, but absolutely intolerable for the next hour. Our son still claims that he was traumatized by having to watch the whole thing, waiting for something exciting to happen, but it never did. Today, there's quite an interest in genealogies. On the one hand, there is a longing to be connected with our ancestors from whom we come. More specifically, there is also a tremendous interest in how technology has made possible the information that our DNA might reveal to us about health-related genes and other things. As one commentator put it, though, reading other people's genealogies is about as exciting as watching other people's holiday videos or, I would add, endless video footage of their beautiful children. But for the ancient Jews, each name in Matthew's genealogy told a story and recalled key events in salvation history. In the old translations of the Bible, we used to call this first chapter of Matthew's gospel the begets, because it went Abraham begot Isaac, who begot Jacob, who begot Judah and his brothers, etc. The church uses this genealogy for the gospel reading at Mass every December 17th. I didn't know that before. Just before the octave leading up to Christmas. Today, we could identify maybe just a few of the ways that we might be able to share a little of the excitement that the Jews, who are Matthew's audience, and the first believers in Jesus Christ, how they might have experienced as they read how he started this account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. The first two words of Matthew's gospel, rendered the book of the genealogy, could be literally translated Book of Genesis. So they have an effect similar to the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. And also the first words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. By tracing Jesus' lineage, Matthew places the story of Jesus within the larger plot of God's dealings with Israel and announces that Israel's story is reaching its climax in the child at the end. Most of all, the Abrahamic and Davidic ancestry of Jesus establishes his credentials to be the royal Messiah of Israel. Son of Abraham refers to Jesus as belonging to the chosen people and as one who fulfills the third promise God made to Abraham, that he would be a blessing and a light to all nations. Matthew will develop this further with his narrative of the Magi coming from the east. Son of David refers to the fulfillment of the messianic expectations, a new deliverer, a man after God's own heart. We might interject today's other readings here. In Genesis, it says, Jacob called his sons, saying, O sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, your father. Judah, who's in the genealogy, your brothers shall praise you and shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until the obedience of the peoples is his. Recall that Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The psalmist says, Give your righteousness to a king's son. May his name endure forever. May all nations be blessed in him. So we get a sense of the mission of the king who is to come. Going back to the genealogy, David and Solomon recall the glory days of Israel. There is also the note, of course, at that point of the sadness, as people recall how Solomon went bad, and many of the kings that followed him were downright evil, ending in the Babylonian invasion and the deportation. The most exciting part of this genealogy is the remaining 11 generations that were not known in the Old Testament. These names demonstrate the continuance of the Davidic line, for the centuries of Jewish suffering, when it was thought that God had abandoned his promise because the descendants of David were cut off. The inclusion of women is also very interesting. All four who are listed there are Gentiles. They are the ones who, in essence, connect God's chosen people, the Israelites, with the promise that all nations would see and be part of his glory. So those women lay the foundations for the universal mission of Jesus' kingdom. Matthew stresses the number 14. David is the 14th name on the list. The numerical value of David's name in Hebrew equals 14. Comes from adding up the letters, the numbers associated with the letters. 14 is also twice 7, which is the number of completion of creation, the number of perfection. Finally, Joseph, the bearer of the Davidic ancestry, appears not as the father of Jesus, but as the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Messiah. It shows how Jesus was conceived in Mary, not by natural means, but by the Holy Spirit, and was named and accepted by Joseph as his son, making him a true Davidic heir. In Catholic tradition, the fatherhood of Joseph lets us shift the focus to Mary. Of her was born Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or God saves. Matthew introduces the entire New Testament by introducing Jesus Christ, his title. He also refers to him as the Son of David, linking him with the hopes of Yahweh's saving action being realized in the Messiah King, Jesus. With God becoming man in Christ, we have the privilege of calling on his name. Of course, for the Jewish people, the divine name could not be spoken by human lips, but by assuming our humanity, the Word of God hands it over to us. We can invoke it. Jesus is Yahweh who saves. His name is the only one that contains the presence, the real presence that it symbolizes or signifies. And whoever uses the name of Jesus is welcoming the Son of God. As St. Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the story of Jesus' genealogy encourages us to lean on the side of hope in these difficult moments. He has continued to work out his plan of salvation from one generation to the next, bringing good from evil. As it will say in the next verses, Mary will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. We know that the word Advent means coming. Each year during this liturgical season, the church invites us to enter into the longings of Israel for the coming of the Savior. Through the 4 weeks of Advent, the church relives the great events of salvation history and makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. When we participate in that, we prepare our souls to welcome him into our hearts at Christmas. Indeed, the family sums up the hopes and fears of all the years. Repeating today's collect, Creator and Redeemer of human nature, you declared that your word should take flesh in an ever-virgin womb. Look with favor on our prayers that your only begotten Son, having taken to himself our humanity, may be pleased to grant us a share in his divinity.